You may be seated.
Good morning. It's so wonderful to be together and worship God together. So let's open our hearts and pray to El Shaddai, our Lord God Almighty. Father, we come before you in such appreciation for everything you do for us, for the church, for every single person here today, Father. Bless every one of us, God. We are nothing but your servants, and we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, there are so many things going on in the world today. The war in Ukraine, I pray for them, God. I pray that the war stops. Father, so many people are losing their lives all over the world right now, but I know that you are in control. We all know that you're in control, and we trust you with all our heart, soul, and strength. Father, I pray that you'll be with everybody that is sick right now. I want to thank you so much for Santa Kozlowski. Thank you, Father, that she's made it. And we thought that she was going to go up to greet you, Father, but she's still in recovery, Father, and we thank you for that. Father, I want to pray for Sean and Kelly, as we heard some, I thought, really good news this morning that he's doing well with his cancer. So I pray that you be with both of them. Help them to hold on to one another and their families, God, and please heal him. Father, I pray for Sylvia Treffy, who was hospitalized over the weekend with severe vertigo, and she's now at home. So I pray for her healing. She's such a sweet and wonderful, wonderful woman. And she was here in this church, which started in her living room years ago, God. Keep her strong and let her know we send her our love. I pray for Eva Muldoon and the extended family as they grieve for the loss of her sister Margie, who passed away suddenly on November 4th. For Joanna Stanton, request prayers for the newborn great-granddaughter, Phoenix, who has a blood condition. Pray that it can be resolved quickly and with no after effects, God. Please pray for April Warner's landlord, Derek. He was just diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Please, God, touch him. And Father, may she be a light sent down from above to shine and just help him to know about Jesus Christ. Father, I want to thank you for Hillary, an acquaintance, for Linda Hebert, God. She had cancer and it's returned. And just hearing that word, Father, it can be scary. But I know that Linda will help her friend, Father. And I pray that you'll give her a healing. I pray for Paul Roos, undergoing treatments for leukemia. For Pastor Mike's brother, who is fighting terminal cancer. And Father, we've heard so many good responses for him as well, and we're grateful. And Father, I pray for all the ministries all over the world. Father, those who sacrifice their lives to give to others is pure religion. And Father, to take care of orphans and widows. And Father, be with Gene, Father, as he preaches this morning. His topic on faith, Father, is just something we all need, especially in these days. Give us faith, hope, and because of that, Father, help us to be charitable to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. This is on, right? Okay. Scripture this morning, as you can see, is Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And I keep meaning to add in good morning to everyone online. Need to say that more regularly. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will see again the distinction between the righteousness and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not.
Beth, thank you. Stones cry out. For those of you who watch and have been are part of this church, you know that one thing we don't do during services, we don't do any announcements, we don't announce anything. But I do want to make a correction today because I want to be clear. I noticed today on the PowerPoint before the service when we run all the activities that we're doing, it said that the Christmas service is at 10 o'clock, and that's not right. Well, I'll have April change that next week. The Christmas service is at 11 o'clock, okay? Christmas dinner is at 11 o'clock. So on December 11th, you come at 11 o'clock, not 10 o'clock. I just wanted to make that correction. Well, I do want to greet those who are watching us via live stream. As always, we're glad you've joined us. And we are going to continue our sermon series. This is week 6 on looking at the very, very important topic of faith. Now, we've looked at it from 5 different angles so far. By review, we've looked at the fact that the object of our faith is critical. And it is critical who or what you put your faith in. We also look at the fact that fear, a greater fear, overcomes a lesser fear. Remember the story of the man who was petrified of heights? And his 3-year-old crawled out the window of his 3-story house and got out the window and got on the roof of the 3-story house, and the 3-year-old stood there, or actually sat there crying, just frozen with fear. And the father saw his son on the roof, the father who was petrified of heights, and ran up the 3rd floor, went out the window, grabbed his son and brought him back in the window of the house. And that's because he was much more overcome with the fear of his son falling than he was of his fear of heights. So a greater fear overcomes a lesser fear. We looked at the fact that love overcomes fear. Then we checked out the idea that we need to overcome our doubts, and that a good definition of faith is doubting your doubts. And last week, Pastor Mike took us on our journey looking at faith in action. Now that's where we've been in a real quick nutshell so far. And today, we're going to be looking at what I've entitled, An Example of Faith. I want to begin with a very unusual story for this subject, a story that has nothing to do with the subject that I'm preaching on, and I'll explain why I'm doing this in a minute. But the story is told about a pig farmer who walked into our church office and asked our office manager this question: is the head hog in? And April, the church manager, said, sir, if you're talking about our pastor, you may call him reverend, you may call him minister, you may call him pastor, but it is never proper to address him as the head hog. And the farmer says, I'm all right, listen. All I wanted to do is let you know I sold some of my sows, and I wanted to give the church $100,000, and I was hoping to catch him. And she looked up and said, just a minute, sir. The big pig just walked in. And my point is, money changes people, doesn't it? Money changes people. Now, why would I tell you that story when I'm preaching on faith? Well, for the simple reason of this. My guess is almost every sermon you've heard, or perhaps every sermon you have heard from the book of Malachi, has been on stewardship or tithing. Malachi is the go-to book for pastors to preach on stewardship or tithing. But this morning, we're going to take a passage from Malachi, that last book of the Old Testament, and we're going to look at it from a completely different angle, and I'm going to use the title of, I'm going to look at this passage as an example of faith. Now, we're going to read a lot of scripture today, so you got to kind of keep up with the story that's going on here, and I'm not sure how many of you are really familiar with the book of Malachi. So first, let me tell you what's going on when this book is written, because this is important to understand. You know, at the time of the writing of this book, the nation of Israel had gone completely away from God, that evil thrived in the land, that unbelief prevailed everywhere, and almost all the people of Israel went their own way, completely disregarding God or his edicts. They laughed at the prophets and showed complete contempt for God. With that in mind, God speaks to them through the prophet Malachi. Listen to what he says. Beth's read this for us, but we're going to read a lot of this again this morning. This is what God says through Malachi. He says, "You have said harsh things against me," says the Lord. "Yet, you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. And certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape." So to put it very bluntly, the people of Israel were saying that God is insignificant and irrelevant. In other words, God had the power to do nothing about anything. God was completely powerless. So the nation, they were ignoring him, completely unimportant to him. But I want to bring you back to the beginning of the nation of Israel. Do you remember back at the beginning when their forefathers settled into the promised land and their leader said this to them? He said, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Joshua said that. And then the people responded. And what the people said is, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." So that generation of Israelites, the original generation of Israelites that went into the promised land, they were faithful to the vow. And that their vow being, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord because he is our God." They didn't forget him. They didn't ignore him. There's no question that the forefathers of this group from Malachi, the forefathers, the founders of the nation, had a deep abiding love and trust for God. But by the time of Malachi, it is painfully obvious that the nation of Israel, as almost a whole, had turned completely away from God. Listen again to what God says to them. "You have said harsh things against me," says the Lord. "You have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape." Now, I'm going to go down a couple of minute rabbit trail here. It really has very little to do with my message, but I just want you to think about this. Does this sound familiar, this story from Malachi? Does this sound familiar? Can you think of any other nation that perhaps has followed the same pattern of behavior? Maybe the nation that you live in? Our forefathers came here and respected the Bible. and tried to follow the Bible. They lived their lives and created their laws and their constitution based on God's word. Where are we today? I wonder. But that's not my message today. So let's get back to the message. Because if we go to the next few verses of Malachi, there's some rather intriguing things that are said. And this is really will be the focus of where I want to focus my attention this morning. It says this. It says, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. And the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be my treasured possession, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I act, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. This is an extremely powerful passage. It's, I think, a passage that we need to take notice of today, particularly here in America. Let's look at what this passage tells us. First, it tells us that during a faithless nation, which Israel was at this time, that God still had a faithful remnant. And I want to tell you that God has a faithful remnant in our country as well, of course. Some of us are sitting right here. Some of us are watching online right now. I hope we are God's faithful remnant. So God has a faithful remnant here. And even though a great majority of the people back in Malachi's day had turned their backs on God, God still had people who honored him and worshiped him and sought to do his will. Now, there weren't many of them compared to the nation as a whole, but they committed themselves to remain faithful to God no matter what anyone else said or did. This faithful remnant was completely surrounded by spiritual darkness. However, it says they drew closer and closer together. They talked with each other, supported each other, and encouraged each other in serving God. Secondly, it said that in this text that God heard them. And you may say, well, of course God heard them. God hears us when we pray. The Bible says God hears us when we pray. The Bible says God answers our prayer. Of course he heard them. But I want to remind you of something. It doesn't say that in the text, that they were praying, does it? Verse 16 says, those who feared the Lord talked with each other. And the Lord listened and heard. And even though this was only a handful of people in the whole nation, God was paying attention to this handful. They talked about him, they worshiped him, they discussed him. And as they did, God was listening to their conversation, kind of like eavesdropping on what they were saying. And that same day, in Malachi's day, kings were making edicts. Scripture tells us that God was listening to his people. Generals were giving orders, but God was listening to this handful, this remnant that were his. Judges were speaking in court. God was listening to his remnant. Politicians were making speeches, but God's ears were attentive to his faithful followers. I believe that is exactly what God is doing today. Thirdly, Malachi tells us the Lord enjoyed so much what he heard that he had it written down in a book called The Scroll of Remembrance. You kind of get the picture here? God calls an angel over. I know I'm being a little hypothetical, but could have happened this way. Calls an angel over, says, take notes. I want you to write down everything they're saying and who said it. I want this to be remembered forever. Friends, think of it. God really does hear and see what we do and what we say, and not just when we're in church, not just when we're on our knees praying, but all the time. Notice what else it says in the next verse. They will be my treasured possession, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I act, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. In that verse, the Hebrew word that is translated treasured possession is more often than not translated with two other words, either with the word jewels or with the word treasure. So in a sense, God is saying that his faithful people in a sense, are his own treasure. And he goes on to say that on that day when he acts, he will remember them and he will protect them. And God makes his meaning very clear in the next verse where he says, and you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Well, certainly in light of that text, I think you'd agree with me that you want to be part of God's treasure on that day. At least I hope you want to be. Now, even though most of us here today call ourselves Christian, I'm sure most of you watching online would call yourself a Christian. I'm guessing the vast majority. The question is, how can we make sure that we are part of God's remnant on that day? Well, what I want to do this morning is I want to look at what was said here. I want to look at what God's faithful remnant were doing at this time and maybe see if we should model some of the things that they were doing. All right? For example, they remained true to God. It tells us they feared the Lord. They held him in awe, and because of that, they remained true to him. Remember, we've said this several times in the sermon series, a greater fear will overcome a lesser fear. Some Christians don't like to be told that they need to fear God. I've run across several Christians in my life as a Christian that they just don't like that. They don't like how it sounds. They don't even agree with it. Like, we're not supposed to fear God. We're supposed to just love God. Fearing God is ridiculous. Well, those people just really don't understand that you are supposed to fear God. The same way a 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old should fear their parents. If you are a good parent, you taught your child to fear you. All good parents understand this. All good parents. And it's not a fear that you're afraid that your parent is going to beat you or hurt you. No, no. It's an understanding that your parents control your life. As my good friend Judge Judy says, they control the air that you breathe. And that's what a good parent does. You go nowhere, talk to no one, look at no electronics that your parents don't approve. And so you should fear a person who has that much control over your life. Well, friends, we're told all throughout Scripture to fear God. Why is that? For a lot of the same reasons. God controls the air that we breathe. Now, of course, in God, unlike in human parents, his love is perfect. But this group feared the Lord. They were in awe of God. And sometimes having a greater fear for God will cause us not to do things that we ordinarily would do because we are afraid of the consequences. We're afraid, even in a better way to say, to disappoint our God. If you're a parent today or a grandparent, one of the greatest things you can do for your children is teach your children to be fearful of disappointing you. That will keep them on the right track more than almost anything else if they are afraid to disappoint their parents or their grandparents. That is a wonderful tool, if you want to say it that way, to help your children develop as healthy children. You know, this time of Malachi's era, it was not easy to stay faithful to God at this time. Corruption abounded everywhere. Hypocrisy was everywhere. Evil ruled the day. But is that a whole lot different than today? I would challenge you to think probably not. Probably not a whole lot different at all. In fact, I could tell you it has never been easy to follow God. It wasn't easy in Malachi's day, and it's not easy here in America today. That's just a simple fact. But God has always had a faithful remnant that has remained true to him. This remnant says something like this: even though everyone else curses God, we will praise his name. They stood for righteousness in a wicked nation, and they probably clearly endured the ridicule of their friends, family members, co-workers, neighbors, etc. And God looked down at this very small group and said, "You will be my treasured possession." I want to illustrate this in a way that maybe will help us understand it a little better. Back in 1947, this is a true story, right from the pages of history, a professor at the University of Chicago was scheduled to teach an advanced seminar in astrophysics. And at the time, this professor was living in Wisconsin doing research. And he planned to commute twice a week for his class, even though it would be held during the harsh winter months. Well, unfortunately, what happened with the class is registration fell to an unbelievably low level where only two students signed up for the class. Now, everyone expected the professor to cancel, but he didn't. He said, for the sake of these two students, he will travel 150 miles round trip in the dead of winter on old country roads to teach this class. Well, apparently, his students did their homework. Because the fact is, in 1957, 10 years later, his two students won the Nobel Prize for Physics. And in 1983, the professor won the Nobel Prize for Physics. Only a group of three. Only a handful. Just like the remnant in Malachi's day, but what a handful. Many of you know the story of Abraham and God and what God had asked Abraham to do. Let's imagine the dialogue between Abraham and God.
Abraham, this is God speaking. I want you to leave everything and go to the land that I will show you.
Where's that, God?
If I told you, you wouldn't believe me.
Try me.
It's 1,500 miles from here. In a place called Canaan.
Canaan. I never heard of it.
I know. And guess what else?
What?
I'm going to make you the father of a great nation.
God, that's impossible. I have no children.
Don't worry.
What do you mean, don't worry?
Just trust me.
What? Let me see if I get this straight. You want me to leave everything, go across the desert to a place I've never heard of, and become the father of a great nation?
Right.
Right? Is that some kind of joke?
No.
But what am I supposed to tell my wife?
That's your problem.
Let me read for you what Hebrews 11:8 says about that dialogue. Hebrews 11:8 says this: by faith, Abraham was called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance. He obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Friends, God's treasure remains faithful in every situation. Are you part of his treasure? Are you one of his jewels? Another thing this remnant did is they talked about God. Not only were they faithful, but when they got together in their meetings, they didn't spend time gossiping or complaining or criticizing everyone around them who was sinning. They didn't talk about the weather or sports or current events. They could have. They could have. But times were dark. So they focused all their attention talking about the Lord. They testified about God's blessing and about God's presence and about God's answers to prayers. Have you ever noticed that when someone is in love with something or someone, they want to talk about that thing all the time? If a person loves football, they gravitate to those people who love football because they want to talk about football. It doesn't have to be football. It can be anything. Maybe it's baseball. Maybe it's gardening. Maybe it's fishing. Maybe it's camping. But when someone loves something, you ever notice they just love talking about it? But here it says that God's special treasure are those who love to get together to share with each other the things about God. I love coming here on Monday night and just sitting around. We eat together and we watch The Chosen and then we talk about God. I love going to Yvette's on Thursday morning, that she has people from her apartment building who come to her house on Thursday morning. I go over and I join with them and I watch The Chosen over there. And again, it gives us reason to talk about God. Those are just very, very healthy, good times. And a lot of you know exactly what I'm saying because a lot of you are here. This Chosen group on Monday night is probably the largest group we've had over the last 4 or 5 years meeting regularly for anything. But that's what God's remnant does. So let me ask you a question. How much does your Christianity mean to you? Answer this internally, obviously. Is your Christianity, is it real? Has your Christianity made a real difference in your life? Maybe you heard about the bridegroom who purchased one ticket for the honeymoon trip to Niagara Falls. Just one ticket. He hands it to his bride and he says, "Have a wonderful time. I'll see you when you get back." And she says, "Aren't you going?" He says, "No, what's the point? I've already been there." He says, "You go. I'll see you when you get back." Now, I don't need to go any further with that ridiculous story, right? Because it is rather ridiculous. Because when people have expressed their love and commitment in their lives to each other in marriage, they want to spend time together. They want to share things together. In the same ways, those who commit their lives to Christ, who become a part of his bride, his church, his family, want to be together, to share things with each other as well. That's what this remnant did. Another thing they did was they honored his name. When we look at the later part of verse 16, we see not only were they in awe of the Lord, not only were they eager to share their faith in him, but they honored his name with their words and with their lives. They remembered the mighty acts of God, we are told. They believed what the prophets had said and written about him. Things like this that the psalmist said in Psalm 1:1. It says, "Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit at the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." In a speech in Dallas, Corrie Ten Boom, the author of The Hiding Place, many of you know her story, said that after that speech in particular, many, many people came up to her and they said the same thing. They said, "Corrie, what great faith you have." She said, "I answered every single person with the same statement." And she was, "This is what I told them." I said, no, that's not true. She says, "What a great God I have." That's the facts. That's the truth. And whether it was the nation of Israel on Malachi's day or the United States of America today, the words to that song that we sing sometimes are still true. The song says, "Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God." Friends, our God is still an awesome God today. The question is, will you be part of his remnant? And that answer lies only inside of you. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Are you a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ? If you are, you are his treasure. You are his jewel. He will remember you on the day that he acts. And he's going to separate the righteous from the wicked. On that day, you want to be on the side of the righteous. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. And I thank you, God, for the example of faith we see here in Malachi for those who remain true to your word in the midst of very unpleasant circumstances. I thank you, God, that you encouraged them, that you reminded them that they were your treasured people, that they were your jewels. And you reminded them, God, that you would protect them in that day of judgment, that time that you would come and separate the righteous from the wicked. And I pray, God, that when we need it, your Holy Spirit will remind us of the same thing. If we get criticized or if we are talked down to because of our faith in you, God, your Holy Spirit will be inside of us, encouraging us to hold true to what we know to be factual, that you love us and you died for us. So, Father, I pray that we could be an example to those that we run into across every day. We could be an example like this remnant in Malachi. And we could point people to you, God. And then we could see some of our friends and neighbors, family members, co-workers, people that don't know you at this point, that we could see them make a commitment to Jesus Christ. And we could celebrate that with them, God, and then we could help them to become fully devoted followers. So thank you, God, for your word today, as always. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit. Speak to our heart, I pray. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Could the ushers come forward? And while they're coming forward and we're getting ready to give of our tithes and offerings, I try whenever I have to come up here and talk about giving to come up with a different type of giving. And this morning in our discipleship class, Joe gave his testimony. And I know that a few other people here have already given their testimony and had them filmed. And I know Della is asking everybody to give a testimony. But I think what we don't realize, and I realized very much this morning when Joe spoke and with what Pastor Gene just spoke of when we are speaking about God and he's listening, that giving our testimonies has as much to do with the people who are listening as it does to the person who is actually doing the talking. Your testimony spoke to all of us this morning, Joe, and I think all of us need to think about that. I know it's hard sometimes to get up and talk about your story, but I think when we're doing that, what we need to think about is what we're giving to others is a piece of ourselves, in that our story could speak to somebody in a way we have no idea. So all that being said, Father, as we come before you to give financially right now, let us always think about all the other ways we can give: a smile, a hello, just a simple nod, just saying something to somebody and being your light to them. So I ask that you bless this time of giving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.